Well, thank you for the privilege of sharing the word tonight. I have a little bit of a long title for what I want to share tonight, but I call it The Magnanimous Blessing of Our Salvation, and then in quotes, Direct Access to Our Father. And we even heard in in the manifestation that God did all of this for us so that you can fellowship with me, which I think is so awesome. But I wanted to start first in Hebrews 4:15 and 16. And in verse 15 it says, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." But come boldly unto the throne room, into the throne room of grace. That access into the throne room was prior to Christ not available. And here we are exhorted that that's where we go, directly into the throne room of grace. And in the Old Testament, there were a few standouts that are noted who wrote of this great blessing. But I'm talking about in particular the blessing of the intimacy with God and recognizing how much the relationship with God meant to them. And David is, it's recorded of David in Psalm 16, verses 5 and 6. "The Lord is the portion of my inheritance and my cup, thou maintainest my lot. The lines are fallen unto me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage." David expressed that his inheritance was the Lord and that that place was pleasant and it was a goodly heritage. And I know there's so much that's recorded of David's heart toward God, you know, a day in thy courts. He just so expressed how just being with God meant so much to him. And in Exodus 34:11, Moses is called a friend of God. And as a friend of God, he just openly went and had fellowship with God. He would step into the temple and the cloud would cover the temple and he'd fellowship with God. And God called him my friend. And I think, you know, they got what it was like, the beauty of being able to have a relationship with God, to even the extent that they had, that to them meant so much. It was really, truly, from the beginning, our Father's desire to have intimate communion with his people. And from the beginning, even, we see in Genesis that he conversed with the first man, Adam. And he conversed with him in naming the animals. But instead of this intimate relationship that he desired to have with this people, most of the time that relationship with this people was described as what is recorded in Jeremiah 2:27. And it speaks of Israel as saying to a stock, they would speak to the stock, "You're my father." And to a stone, "Stone, you have brought me forth, for they have turned their backs on me." And this is what God said. You know, his people would talk to these things that they had made or to some stone on the ground, and instead they turn their back on God and not their face, but in the time of their trouble, then they will arise and say to God, "Save us." You know, that was not the relationship that God desired to have with his people. In verse 32 of Jeremiah 2, it says, "Can a maid forget her ornaments or a bride her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." You know, when I read that, sometimes it almost just, you know, wells up tears in me. I know that surprises a lot of you. I say that, but to hear our Father say that, "My people turn their backs to me, they don't give me their face, they forget me." You know, you can see just even from those expressions how much it meant to our Father to have a relationship. But not only did, but finally, God got what he wanted in Christ. And if you look again back at Psalm 16, it is spoken of Jesus Christ in verse 11 where it speaks of Jesus Christ and what he thinks of God. And he declares, in his presence, in thy presence, Father, is fullness of joy. So in Jesus Christ, he finally got that. And in, you know, in the Gospels, it records that his meat was to do the will of the Father. He desired only to do those things that pleased the Father. He finally had someone whose whole life was sold out to be a son who loves and adores his Father, and a father who then finally had the son he was looking for. But not only did Jesus Christ enjoy this intimacy and closeness with the Father, which the Father had yearned to enjoy with all his children, but his sacrifice made this closeness and intimacy available for all of us who confess Jesus as Lord, satisfying this longing from our Father. And in Ephesians 2:18 it says, "For through him, through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." Finally, because so often I think we just finished doing communion and considering the broken body and the shed blood, but really what struck me was when I was reading through Hebrews and then considering this in light of Ephesians 2:18, and in Hebrews 7:19, it says, "For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by which, by that better hope, we now draw nigh to God." You see, because it wasn't available before that. We could not be near God. And the whole priestly setup was designed in such a way that we could see how limited our access possibly even might be to the Father. And only one, the high priest, one time a year, got to be even in what was considered the presence of God, which was in a place where they kept the Ark of the Covenant. That happened once a year. But in Hebrews it says the law could never do that. It couldn't make anything perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. And by which this hope enabled us to draw nigh to God. Finally, our Father gets us. He gets to have us. And, you know, in Ephesians chapter 1, it even says that we would get to see, I can't even think of how it's said right now, let me tell you, that we would be able to see what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. To God, we're the riches of his glory, that he finally got us. He finally got us to be his. And then we go back to Ephesians 2:18, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father." We have access to the Father by this Spirit. We are brought nigh unto God by this Spirit. We are this amazing riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. This is what God has wanted of us. And even in Hebrews 8:6, it describes what we have with God now as being a better covenant built on better promises. And what is encompassed in that better promises is this access to our Heavenly Father. And we know from Colossians 3, our life is hid with Christ in God. It's in his presence. It's in seeking him. It's in fellowship with him that we get to enjoy the intimacy of that relationship. It's right there where we find what our Lord found, which is fullness of joy. Our Father yearns for us to be with us, to show us himself and the beauty of who we are in him. He has always wanted us. When I read these things, I think it's part of how God works with me, but when I read these things, I find myself, I never want him to feel forgotten by me. I never want him to be lonely for me. You know, the more we spend time with him, the more he is able to reveal and just talk with us. And I just want to exhort yourselves and myself, let's keep discovering the fullness of joy found only in his presence. And I got this picture because we were like this as kids, and we would go visit my grandparents, and when my grandpa would come home from work, us little grandkids would run out to the driveway to meet my grandpa. We were so excited to see him. And it gave me this picture as I thought of this and seeing God. And the minute we sit down, I want to be like that with Father, where I just want to run into his arms and sit with him and talk with him. It thrills his heart. And I will tell you this one little testimony, because this was an interesting thing that God did with me one morning when I was spending time with him and I was talking with him about some things. And I immediately got this sort of cartoon bubble above my head, and in the bubble was that silly dog on the Garfield cartoons, and his name is Odie. And Odie was in the cartoon the bubble I saw, and he's got his ears perked up and his tongue hanging out on the ground, and he's doing this full body wag. And he was so excited, so excited. And as I saw that, I had to laugh because I knew exactly what God was showing me. And what he was showing me is that how excited he is every time I come to spend time with him. And that is the way he feels about all of us. It wasn't just broken body, shed blood, which is what paved the way so that we could come into the presence of God. That's what that did for us. But the ultimate end was to be in the presence of God, face to face, not our backs to him, not any of that, face to face with our Father. We satisfy the longing of his heart every time we talk with him, every time we sit there and listen with him. He is just a beautiful, beautiful Father. And that truly is the magnanimous blessing of our salvation, is us being in the presence of our Father. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much, Tracy. Would you close with a word of prayer, please?
Certainly. Father, we do love you and adore you, and I know that you continue to make the words of your word living and real for every single one of us, exciting our hearts and opening our understanding and causing us in every way to mature into who you have made us to be in Christ. You are such an awesome, awesome, wonderful Father. So blessed to be your children and so blessed to be a part of this beautiful family and this group of family believers on this phone call. Thank you for being so good to us and for the kindness that you showed us and continue to show us through the gift of your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.